This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Astronomers are mapping the universe, and they've created what they call the most complete map of the local universe. And while it won't download yet onto your GPS, it does include data on countless galaxies up to 380 million light years away. Now, why is this so important? The map was released this week at the meeting of the American Astronomical Society in Boston, and joining me now to talk about it is Karen Masters, an astronomer at the Institute of Cosmology and Gravitation at the University of Portsmouth in the UK. She joins us by phone from there. Good evening.
Good evening. Good afternoon for you.
Thank you very much. Tell us how much of the universe this is.
Well, to be honest, this is a tiny, tiny fraction of the universe. On astronomical scale, that's why we called it the local universe. Mm-hmm. On astronomical scale, it's relatively nearby, even though on human scales, 380 million light years sounds like a long, long way, and it's a long way. Mm-hmm. But if we use redshift, which is sort of the astronomer's way of thinking about distances, this is the speed at which galaxies appear to be moving away from us because of the expansion of the universe. That's actually how we estimated the distances, or how we measured the distances for this map. And the maximum redshift in this map is much smaller than some other maps that we have of the sky, but they are of much smaller fractions of the sky. Where this map is unique is that it covers 95% of the sky to a uniform depth, unlike other much deeper, further away maps, which just cover smaller areas of the sky.
So you've sort of done a 360 on the sky, but not gone out so far.
That's right. It's always going to be a payoff between how much of the sky you cover and how deep you can go, just because we have only so many telescopes and we have only so many resources available for mapping the universe.
Is it possible to estimate how many galaxies, stars, things like that you have actually mapped?
This map catalogs or lists distances to about 43,000 galaxies.
43,000?
43,000. So it's definitely a countable number. That's the number of galaxies we have distances for in this map.
And this project took some 10 years to complete. What was involved in this?
This was a project that was initiated by John Hooker, who was an astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. And 10 years is probably actually an underestimate of how long this project took. I think John had in mind to do this project as long ago as the late 80s. When proposals were put in to do an all-sky imaging survey in the near-infrared. Now, the reason you would want to go into the near-infrared instead of using sort of optical wavelengths, the kinds of light that we see with our eyes, is that we live in a galaxy, and the galaxy blocks out big chunks of the sky. There's a lot of stuff, stars, dust, and other material in the galaxy. And if we want to see things that are behind that, you know, that are much further away, other galaxies, we have to be able to see through it somehow. In optical light, the galaxy blocks, you know, as much as 20% of the sky. But if you move into the near-infrared, into longer, redder wavelengths, you can see much more of the sky. And something that's called the 2-micron all-sky survey was envisaged by John and by other astronomers in the late 80s and was sort of developed during the 90s and actually was completed in about 2000, I believe.
In fact, Dr. Hooker was on our program several times. And I'm going to play a little bit of a discussion, a clip that he talked about 10 years ago.
I would love to hear
that. One of
that.
The key issues, I mean, we think we're getting a better handle. Astronomers overall think we have a better handle on the cosmological model right now. In fact, you probably won't find very many people at all working in the field trying to understand the origin of things and the fate of things who will say that there's anything wrong with the Big Bang model. It works pretty well. A hot Big Bang with a little bit of inflation and a variety of other things does just everything that we need. However, there are still a whole host of really unanswered questions. For example, we know that the universe seems to be made of, in large part, this stuff called dark matter. We don't know what it is. We don't really know where it is. And we think we know how much there is, but we're not even sure about that. I think one of the real key puzzles for the next decade in astronomy is to, and physics for that matter, is to to try to understand what the heck dark matter is.
Well, Dr. Masters, here it is 10 years later. Do we know any more what the heck dark matter is?
I would say we're getting closer, actually. I don't think you'd find a single astronomer who would disagree with that most of the matter, most of the gravitating matter in the universe is dark matter. Mm-hmm. And we're getting tantalizingly close in particle accelerators and particle physics experiments to detecting dark matter particles or particles that are sort of predicted that could explain dark matter. So I actually think we're significantly closer to knowing what dark matter is than we were 10 years ago. We're not quite there yet, but I think, you know, it's really teasing now. It really seems to be close on the horizon.
And as you say, this map you're making is just a small part of the universe. What would you learn from it? I mean, I know that when we have maps, we use them to drive distances or fly or take a boat or something. What does an astronomer do with a map once it gets finished?
Well, this is a small part of the universe, but this is our part of the universe. And that's why we want to see everything over the whole sky. Because the things that are near us in the universe have an impact on us, on our galaxy, on the sort of the region of the universe we live in. And we know that the universe has structure on various scales. And these clusters and superclusters of galaxies are extremely massive because of the huge amounts of dark matter in them. And they pull, they have gravity, right? So they're pulling on our galaxy and on the galaxies near us. Mm-hmm. We know that our galaxy and the galaxies near us are moving through the universe and are being pulled on by this gravity. And so sort of accounting for where that pull is coming from, just in order to do that, you need a complete all-sky map of the local universe, and that's what we've provided. So hopefully this will help with those kinds of studies. And I know there are actually already some researchers who are using this data to look at that exact question.
I know that we've put a copy on our website at sciencefriday.com of the image from the map, and you can see that the galaxies are not completely evenly distributed. You see sorts of bands of color. Do we know why that is, or is that the dark matter that we don't see in between those bands?
No, the dark matter, so we believe the galaxies, we have evidence that shows the galaxies are tracing where the dark matter is. So you can, if you look at those lines and those structures, those are the superclusters. And actually, I mean, it was John, going back to John, it was him in the 1980s who first showed that galaxies in our universe are not uniformly distributed. If you've ever heard of the famous CFA Stickman, it was the first kind of filamentary structure that was seen in a map. Which was just a tiny fraction of what we're seeing here. It looked kind of like a little stick man, so people gave it that name. But those are real structures that we see in the universe, filamentary structures, and the black spaces between them. Not the big black horizontal line across the middle. That's the part of the sky we can't see because of our galaxy. But the black spaces between the colored dots and the rest of the map are real gaps, real voids and holes where there is no dark matter or little dark matter and few galaxies.
Well, let's get you any closer to understanding what the great majority of the universe is made out of, the dark energy.
I don't believe so, actually. I think what you need to do for dark energy studies are these much deeper, smaller area surveys. And the reason that is that dark energy doesn't have a lot of an impact on the clustering of galaxies. It doesn't, because we think it's smooth, it doesn't have any variation in its gravity. What it does is it affects the overall evolution of the universe. And so in order to look for dark energy and to try to understand about dark energy, you have to see how the universe changes as you look very far back. Because, you know, as we're looking back in at galaxies that are very far away, we're looking back in the history of the universe. So we need very, very deep redshift surveys in order to understand dark energy. So this map is not going to have a lot to say about dark energy.
Mm-hmm. And what would you like to know? What would be the big answer you'd like to, the question you'd like to answer out of this study? What would you like this work to answer for you?
I think if we can truly account for the motion of the Milky Way, the motion of our galaxy in the universe by the structures in this map, I think if we can show without a doubt that that's true, that would be a very powerful statement to make. I think that would be probably the most powerful statement that will come out of this map.
You mean because there's a lot of dark matter in there?
Yeah, so, I mean, it has been a little bit of a debate whether or not we're moving too fast for the standard cosmological model. But if we can show that there's enough matter in a single direction or in the direction that it's pulling on us that accounts for that, then that sort of removes that question about the cosmological model. It's just one little niggling kind of, you know, the model works so well, as John explained 10 years ago. The model works so well and it passes so many tests.
Right.
You can always find a few little tests where people are like, well, look, this isn't quite right, and look, this isn't quite right. And one of them has been this motion, our motion in the universe.
You mean the rotary spiral sort of motion of our galaxy?
Yeah. No, actually, the motion of the entire galaxy.
Ah.
So the rotation of our galaxy is one of the big pieces of evidence for dark matter. But our actual motion, and the clearest way you see this actually is in looking at maps of the cosmic microwave background. So this is this is the first light that was emitted in the universe when the universe first became transparent, and we see it everywhere. It's sort of this bath of radiation that we live in, and when you look at that, you see that it's hotter in one direction and colder in the other direction, and it has lots of other structures as well, but that's the biggest structure in it. And we explain that by saying we're moving towards in a direction through this path of radiation, and that's what creates this dipole, this structure on the sky. And so that you can measure our motion with respect to the CMB extremely accurately, and some researchers claim that it's too high for the standard cosmological model. But if the two-mass redshift survey, the redshift survey that we've just released, can account for that motion, that kind of removes one of these doubts about the standard model.
Thank you, Dr. Masters. Good luck to you. Thanks for staying up for us. Have a good weekend. Karen Masters, astronomy researcher at the Institute of Cosmology and Gravitation, University of Portsmouth in the UK. When we come back, we're going to talk about telling and reading stories about health. Can it make for better healthcare? Stay with us.